And welcome to another Norm at Night. This is Norm coming to you from Cat Harper, Maryland. The rage today is healthcare. So let's talk healthcare.
But what the doctor says is really killing me is you. I got a lot of bad habits.
Yeah, we got a lot of bad habits. Like, I'm too poor people to be fat. Don't worry. Yes, we do. Give poor people the big shaftola. 47 million Americans. 47 million Americans don't have health care. If they get sick, they don't get health care. They don't just go to the doctor. They just don't make an appointment. If they get so sick that they're going to die on the spot, they end up going to a hospital emergency room. When's the last time any of you were in a hospital emergency room? It's not a lot of fun. Imagine that being your primary care. Unbelievable. I'm in Obama's camp on this one. Hook, line, and sinker. I don't think we need to wait. We've been waiting for 200 years for something like this. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. You can't do any of those things if you're sick. We either mean those words or we don't mean those words. Now, what do you think of that? Come on, bring it on, folks. I want to talk health care here. You know, I put in my profile that I'm the fat left-hander. My whole life has been a conflict between socialism and libertarianism. Well, right now I'm coming down on the side of socialism, I guess. If we're going to have a God-blessed national government, if it's going to be there, it's got to give us a provide for our basic human rights, one of which is to live. If a disease can be prevented, it needs to be prevented. Now, I admit we're all living longer. What do you think? Give me a call, 347-945-6713. What are your views on health care? It seems to me everybody who's got it doesn't want everybody who doesn't have it to get it. Really sucks. You Roman Catholics, of which I'm one, I'm not going to fib that I'm not. But it's like y'all forgot the corporate works of mercy. Why? Because they cost money? Yeah, anybody can go kneel in the, I don't even know what they call that place at the last Catholic school. The Adoration Chapel. Yeah, you can go have one of those doors open and everybody can go there. Of course, you can't go to the doctor and get fixed. I mean, Jesus was a healer. Come on, I'm trying to stoke people on. Give me a call, 347-945-6713, or you can come to the chat session. Wait a minute here. I'm trying to find the chat session. It looks like I got two open now. I'm sorry. You know, I still don't get this thing right. I don't know. Let's see here. One of these, there it is. Come into the, hey, guest, 3864. I got you on. what do you want to say in the, you got something to join us on the air? I will relay it. I don't have a problem doing that. Oh, no, I've lost. I hope I'm still on the air. Apparently, am I getting my, where's my switchboard? Yeah, there we go. Thank God nobody's called. I do have that guest out in the chat session. Let me go see. I'm on a new computer tonight, and I'm hoping I got nothing from the guest at this point. Oh, man. I got a caller coming in. Go ahead, 727. You're on with Norm.
Hey, Mr. Norm. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just great. So how are you on the health care bill? For or against?
Well, I'm for. I'm definitely for. I mean, you know, I think that Americans need to be covered. There needs to be a universal health care bill that will cover all of Americans. Of course, I definitely want to do it smart and I want to do it efficient, but if there is a price tag that's comparable to what we're spending now, I say, look, if we're going to spend it, let's get everybody covered. And if it's one that lessens what we're spending now, even if it's over a 10-year, 15-year period, then I say definitely let's do that. You know, I think a lot of the objection is purely for political means and to politicize people's health. That just goes to show you what people will do to either stay in power or to keep their certain constituents in high places. You know, I think it's a sad time in America when one of the number one agendas, besides ending the Iraq war, but one of the number one agendas that got our president elected was health care reform. And I think it's sad when that agenda is Congress won't allow the president to do that. And what's even sadder, what's even worse than that is you have a Congress that is made up in the majority of the same people under the umbrella of the president, which is Democrats, and they won't move on it. You know, I say, look, you got the 60 majority. Americans have given you 60. Call a session. Refuse a filibuster with the 60 and vote on it. Vote
hold
on
now,
it. You know,
I don't hold on 1 second here. Go ahead, 240. You're on with us, but go ahead, 727. Let me ask you a question, 727.
Yes, sir.
Is your congressman going to vote for it?
No, he's not.
Have you called him up?
Yes.
Have you written him a letter?
No, I have not written him a letter. I'm in Mississippi right now.
Okay.
So I can already tell you, you know.
Two
I can already
zero.
Tell you, but there is definitely no excuse for even if he's one that would like to side with
the is your congressman what they call a blue dog?
He's some type of dog.
So 240, why don't you chime in on this discussion?
Hi, Norm. This is Kimberly Coleman. I'm one of your Facebook friends. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you very much. Of course, I have health care, unlike 47 million Americans. I guess you're hearing my view on that. You know, that's more people than voted for the president.
Right. It's interesting because we're willing to vote for a lot of things in this country, and we, you know, pay astronomical fees for, you know, cable and our clothes and all these other things. But when it comes to health care, we don't want to do that. And I don't know if anybody else here has had a illness. I've never had one. My father has had cancer 3 times, and he has excellent health care. And if he hadn't have had health care, his bills would have toppled over $1,000,005. So just imagine that. I mean, not just, you know, getting rid of the cancer.
I'm really glad that he had health care and that they took care of him. But why should that cost $1,000,000?
Well, it shouldn't cost $1,000,000. But understand
I don't know.
Unless
that's a rhetorical question. When you don't have any sensible competition on a good or a product that people need, the competition that exists can keep going up.
Mm-hmm.
They can keep raising the rates. What are you going to do about it? You need the product.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's a point. Some people call that the healthcare blackmail.
Well, it is. It's no different than a strong arm tactic used by any criminal underworld.
Well, so what do we do? What do we do? We're all Americans.
What do we do is the 46 or 47 million people, first, the 47 million people that are uninsured, they need to take to the streets. Fortunately, I have health insurance. I have health coverage or what have you. But I would definitely take to the street with them. But the 47 million, those voices need to be heard. How can you sit back at this moment in time? How can you sit back needing health insurance and not say anything? They need to take to the street. You got teabaggers. You have people that were against the Iraqi war. You got people for the gay and lesbian alliances that take to the streets for annual marches or for, you know, different certain rights. Everybody takes to the streets. Where are the 47 million people that say, I need this, that are willing to put a face on this discussion, a face that will be shown from TVs on the West Coast to TVs on the East Coast? Where are those people? Right now, the only person that's continually advocating, like I said, is the president. He's going on countless PR tours to have this done.
Go ahead.
Who is he advocating for?
Well, you know, why don't we put a camera in every emergency room and watch those poor people? The only place they have to go for care is in a hospital emergency room. It's criminal.
It is. You know, it's so sad. I watched today Michael Steele on the Republican National Committee chairman on CNN.
Did you see him on Morning Joe?
Didn't even know who his provider. It must be nice.
Yeah, well, he was governor or lieutenant governor of Maryland.
Right. Yes, sir.
He made a commencement speech at the school I used to teach at this year. Hey, Colt, go ahead. You're on. We got a good one going here tonight.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of it. So we're talking about health care, huh?
Yeah, we got a 727. Well, that's all I'm going to call. He's from Mississippi.
No, I'm in Mississippi. I'm not from here.
Oh, where are you from originally?
I'm from Georgia.
A southern boy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
all my life.
Lived in Biloxi for about 9 months.
That's where I stay right now. I've been in Biloxi for 10 years. I'm in Biloxi right now.
Oh. Yeah, I was there before all the casinos came in and that, but...
I was stationed at Keesler. I was in the Air Force for 10 years.
Really?
Yeah,
I was in the Navy at Pensacola. There's a tech hand in Biloxi.
Oh.
Wow, that's crazy.
Well, you know, I did 3 years of reserve with the Air Force, and they sent me down there as a sergeant, and I went through the avionics tech course, and at that time I was about, let me think, in my mid-30s.
Yes, sir.
And I had a hard time keeping up with all them kids down there, but maintained.
Yeah, well, you had health care. You sure had health care in the Air Force.
Yeah.
And they got health care in the Army. And they got health care in the Navy. and they got health care. If you're working for a union, God forbid, they're all being busted. Now, none of those people have health care. I know. You know I got to get my union busted in.
I'm an old steel worker.
Yeah. Well, see, that's where the show changes. Instead of Norm at night, it becomes Norma Ray at night.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
I've been saving that for you.
Okay, Colt's a regular listener here.
So, anyway, you want to get back to health care? I did a blog a couple years ago when I was doing, let's call it some unofficial lobbying.
Hey, remember, we got through. Hold on one second, Colt. We got three lines open here, 347-945-6713. Join the soup. Go ahead, Colt.
Okay. So what I want to do is kind of redirect this a little bit to the real cost, where that money is going. Now, when I did my research for my lobbying, I looked into things, and I found out that nearly every major HMO in this country has been convicted and fined overcharging Medi-Cal for enormous amounts of money, hundreds of millions of dollars.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? And I'm not saying some of them. I'm saying all of them. And there's another kind of an interesting case in California here. I believe it was in 2004, 2005, the Physicians Association here, which is sort of their, like a huge trade group representing the independent.
That's out in California, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. They took all of the major HMOs to court. It was a civil case, but they were using RICO. We all know what RICO is, right?
Yes, organized crime. Right.
Yeah. And they charged them with
fraud. Been used against labor unions, too, I might add. But anyway,
go
ahead.
Well, I'm just talking HMOs here, and we're talking fraud and extortion. And they had such a convincing case, they won, I think it was a $1.5 billion suit. And we're talking all of them, Humana, Aetna, Blue Shield, and the whole they nailed all of them. Now, I don't know the actual result. You know, I mean, obviously, they either settled out of court or pled no contest, or, you know, there were no criminal charges involved because this was a civil case utilizing this, you know, the RICO statute. So, so when I look at these things and I realize when we call them the medical mafia, there's a reason for that. You know, these companies have been extorting money from us for a very, very long time.
Amen.
So I have no sympathy for Humana, Aetna, any of the insurance companies. Sorry, I got no sympathy at all for you guys.
I wonder, is this an issue of the proper language being put into a bill, or is this an issue really of just people not wanting this type of reform done because political connections, campaign donations? I mean, what is this really an issue of?
The lobbyists are spending enormous amounts of money right now. I mean, they already have.
Well, one of the dangers is that if the government gets in the healthcare business, healthcare costs or health insurance costs will be driven way down because the government doesn't make a or shouldn't make a profit.
Right.
The amount of profit in the insurance business is extraordinary.
And
also, the larger the pool gets, the more the risk is balanced. And the other problem is that insurance of any kind is just, I forget. It's just a big Ponzi scheme.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's what insurance is. Insurance is a Ponzi scheme.
It's pooled risk. It's all it is. A Ponzi
scheme. So is a Ponzi.
No,
it's not.
Is a deliberate fraud.
And so is insurance.
Well, for God's sake, when, you know, everything we do is based on, you know, risk and how to evaluate it and how to price it. And there'd be no insurance at all if we didn't do
that. That's exactly right.
All right, so here's the deal. You know, there will be no measure to determine the cost of your health insurance if we don't use that system. It's all numbers. Are you eating something? What the hell is that?
I'm not.
That sounds,
no.
That sounds like
yeah, that. What did it sound like?
It sounded like
a little
candy
bit like
wrapper
potato
open.
Chips. I think it was potato chips.
It was cheese.
Oh,
cheese.
Well, we're just having a great old time here, and time is just flying by. Hey, if you want to join in out there, it's 347-945-6713. We got a barn burner going here on Norm at Night tonight.
See, there's one thing about...
I'm sorry. Insurance is a Ponzi scheme.
Well,
You take money from everybody, and you pay some people with the money you take from others.
Okay, so... Yeah, but are these people at the top of the pyramid? No.
Absolutely. The guys who run the insurance, the guys who make the big bucks, they're just sucking money out of it. You're the one who just talked about how they pick lawsuits against them. They're always on the edge of legality.
But, Norm, look, there's a difference between pooled risk and a Ponzi scheme. A Ponzi scheme is an investment scheme. And everybody is equal except for, you know, it's people at the top.
No, when it's legal, you call it pooled risk. When it's not, you call it a Ponzi.
Oh, good God. All right. Well, I'm not going to, this would take too much to explain the difference. But anyway.
The difference is the insurance companies make the laws.
Well, I tell you one thing. We may all not agree on the definition of certain terms, but I think we definitely all agree that there needs to be real reform in the way America takes care of its sick, the sick or the sicko business in America.
Well, one of the real problems is 727, in my view, is that we aren't really sick anymore. And there's two... Well, not really. We're living 30 years longer than we ever did. The fact is, nobody's getting out of here alive. We come in naked, we're going out naked.
And no matter
what you do, no matter how much insurance you have, you're going to die.
Amen.
Yeah, here's a cute little stat I'm going to throw out there.
And
for you.
Hopefully,
you know,
there's something out there.
You know how they always talk about... people who smoke have higher health care costs and they're very, you know.
Yeah, that's a real interesting.
Right. Except that here's how it works out. They tend to die quicker, and the people who don't smoke tend to live longer. And those people who live longer than don't smoke, they eat up more health care than the smokers.
Yes,
they do.
Let me ask you a question.
It's you healthy people that are screwing everything up.
Right. I haven't been. The amount.
Okay.
I've been to the doctor 3 times in the last 3 years for my annual physicals. I happen to be healthy. The insurance company keeps taking my money and paying it to somebody else, hoping they can keep a bunch of it for themselves. If the government, if the government is doing the insuring, then it doesn't mean people don't pay into the pool.
Okay.
But if the government doing, uh-oh, I got another. Hold on, let me just get this caller in here. Go ahead, Southern Star, you're with us on Norm at Night.
Hi, Norm at Night, how are you?
I'm fine. We got 727 from Mississippi. We got the Cult from Sacramento, California. And where are you from?
Well, this is Michael. I'm from South Carolina.
Okay, well, welcome, Sessions. Michael.
Sessions Country.
Okay, so why don't you, what's your view on health care?
Well,
do you have health care?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you're one of the lucky. You're not one of the 47 million who don't.
Well,
I'm one of the few that pays for it himself.
Okay, let Southern Star talk. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm
a Yankee, so I talk. Go ahead.
I don't consider myself too lucky. I pay $340 a month for it, and my copays and my prescription copays are going up every 6 months.
Mm.
Wow.
Sounds worse than mine.
Well, I don't even know what mine is. It's all part of my employment. I know we pay. Well, it used to be completely covered, but we pay now.
Right.
Pretty healthy.
And tell me,
if you don't know yet, you're pretty healthy because you'll know once you get sick. All about.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm pretty healthy.
Of course, you got that nice health care, which is of course government subsidized, and you know that, right?
What health care?
You know,
my health care.
Your health care. Your health care is subsidized by the government. Did you not know this?
No, I did not know that.
Well, because your employer gets to write off every dime he pays for your insurance policy.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
right, but
true.
My employer only gets to write off,
Well, maybe I'm tired of paying for your goddamn health care.
Well, then why don't you just go join a labor union and we'll go on strike. He give us health care.
I'm not a communist.
And we won't do a damn thing for you. I got another call coming in here. Hold on. This is getting hot tonight. Go ahead, 772. You're on with Norm at Night.
How's it going?
It's going well.
I'm listening to you, and I'm probably the only one here that doesn't have health insurance right now.
Ah, jeez.
Finally, one of the 47 million.
Hey, don't worry if you don't have health insurance. If you don't mind camping in.
I was sending you chats, and.
If you don't mind camping in an emergency room for 3 or 4 days to get fixed, you're all right.
Ah, yeah. You know, here, I'll tell you how my insurance works, right? The only insurance I have right now is a high deductible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pay $203 a month. Now, high deductible means that everything $100 and less, I pay for completely. And everything over that, I pay 30%. So when I go for a doctor exam, you know, my checkup and all that, it runs $110. I pay the first $100 plus $3 of the $10 over. So I pay $103, and my insurance company pays $7.
Mm.
How's that? Is that a deal, man? Wow.
No, terrible.
So what you're betting on is that you're going to be really sick.
Let's all start our own insurance company.
See, See, I'm going to have
Wait. I want to hear from 7 Cent. Whoa. I want to hear from 772 here.
Yeah, the guy with no insurance. Let's hear.
Yeah, I don't have insurance, and I spent about a year living without insurance after graduating from college, and now I'm starting medical school in 2 weeks, so I'll finally get insurance again. But
why will you get insurance? Because you're starting medical school.
Yeah, because they force you to have insurance when you're in medical school, so it's going to be part of my tuition, an extra $2,200 a year.
Yeah, because you could catch something, you know.
So, wait a minute. They don't give you professional courtesy?
No, it's part of my tuition.
How do you feel about being forced to have it?
Well, I'm going to be glad to have it because actually I spent the whole year healthy, but now 2 weeks before I start school, I've got pneumonia, and I have to pay everything out of pocket, doctors, medicine, everything out of pocket. So
that's where I'm at, but you know,
just stay healthy till you graduate, and then you can heal yourself.
Yeah,
that's easier to do.
But
So after this experience, are you going to lower the fees once you got the degree?
Well, I don't understand. I was writing on the chat in the chat room. I don't really understand why the AMA is is lobbying against this whole universal health care thing.
Oh, I haven't even.
But
any ideas on that?
It's most likely because it'll end up mean that wages for doctors are going to drop somewhat, and the AMA is always trying to be it's kind of like, I think they're kind of an elitist clique, so
why don't we make, you know, that's why don't we just make more doctors? Why doesn't the government just spend half of what they spent on the war in Iraq to make more doctors? Men, women, minorities, majorities, just make more doctors. Guess what happens to the price of health care?
It goes down. But
that would be
inconvenient then, right, for the people that are already making money off of it. So that's what lobbying is for.
It would be very inconvenient.
More doctors would have very little effect on the cost of health care. It's more than that. Listen, I got to run. I came on and introduced myself. I have a new show here on Blog Talk Radio called The Southern Star, and I run the largest website in South Carolina, thesouthernstar.org.
When is your show on?
I'd like to have you as a guest sometime. My show's on every Thursday at 9 o'clock.
I'll try to talk in on Tuesday. Do you know that one of my favorite poets, his name was Hart Crane, and he wrote a magnificent poem called Southern Cross?
Yes, he did.
And, is that a great poem? Well, thank you very much for coming on, Southern Star, and I will tune in on Thursday night at 9.
Can I stay and argue more?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love you to stay. We got one line open, by the way, 347-945-6713. Fill that line up if you want to get in on this healthcare stuff. Hey, all you Catholics out there, all my good buddies, healthcare, you know, we're talking to
for you. People that are against this whole universal health coverage are saying that in countries like Canada and European countries like Germany and the UK, healthcare is rationed, you know, and Americans are never used to that. They want to be able to get whatever test they need, whatever MRI they need, whether it's necessary or not, but they want to be able to get it when they want it. So that's probably not gonna have to end if their universal plan does come out. So
why would
what do you say to that?
I say it doesn't have to end. You don't have to ration health care.
I was listening to Joe Scarborough today, and he.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my God.
One of the things he was saying is, someone's gonna have to make the tough decision of telling an 87-year-old.
Yes, I heard that.
He can't have that hip replacement surgery. So. I mean, those kind of decisions are going to have to occur, and Americans don't like those decisions.
Well, he can have it if he can afford it, right?
Yeah, but if not, if they're on, like, the government plan or something. Like, this year I spent working at a psychiatric hospital, and it was for people, like, indigent patients, that most of them were on Medicare and Medicaid.
Buffalo State cult.
Yeah.
Just in my experience,
got a few friends there.
Medicare and Medicaid patients, are given so many extraneous tests and stuff all the time, just because the agency just pays whatever. So.
Just imagine you're a waiter. You want the people to eat as much as they can, so the tip is bigger. So you keep bringing them things they don't need. What makes you think doctors are any different?
Right.
Because the doctors just want to get paid and stuff. But
every X-ray is more money for the radiologist. Every operation's more money for the anesthesiologist.
That's one of the things Obama keeps saying, that he wants to change it from quantity to quality, and I think that's a good idea, but I think there are a lot of people are clearly opposed to that kind of idea.
But how do you do
it?
Don't
worry about it. 72% of Americans want some form of public health care. There is no magic answer, but if we don't change what's going on now,
None
of us are going to be talking here in 10 years. We're going to be loading our guns, and the class war will really begin.
God.
Wow.
Class warfare. The only place there's a class warfare is the tug of war between the fourth and the fifth grades at the local elementary school.
Well, let's go back in history and look at every major civilization and how it came down, and if you do, you're going to find a lot of commonalities between Rome and Greece and the United States of America.
Yeah, but you know what? There's one big difference.
Yeah, we're all...
There's no slaves in America. And those other civilizations were based on slavery. We're the first civilization that ever threw it off, that ever said, enough. Be done with it.
Well, there were no slaves in 19th century France, and look what they did to their king. Nasty.
We don't have a king.
The French Revolution.
We have Goldman Sachs, so we don't need a king.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, can somebody, a Southern Star, maybe you can help me with, I'm having a little trouble here. On my switchboard, two of the callers have hands with a little red arrow on them. What is that?
They just want to listen.
They don't want to
engage in conversation yet. They want to listen.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
it. Actually, it means they're militant liberals.
Now, some people say I'm a fat left-hander, and that's probably true.
I'm a pretty solid libertarian, and that's my...
I've had that problem my whole life. The day... Monday and Tuesday, I'm a socialist. Wednesday and Thursday, I'm a libertarian. Friday, I just go out and have a beer.
You know what? Most reasonable people are everything. I mean, when people tell me, when people say they're just one thing, I get nervous around them. You know, I think most reasonable people are everything, because no particular party, like, conforms to everything that people believe, you know?
Yeah.
Well mm-hmm. said. I was a staunch Republican until the Obama seat started. I don't consider myself a Democrat or a liberal. I'm very anti-abortion. I'm anti-gay marriage, but I'm not anti-gay unions. I think the gentleman is right. We all have our different opinions about different things. We really can't be that categorized. Just be that way.
But what it comes down to here is, it doesn't matter what you are if you can't take your next breath, and that's why we need health care.
Amen. Amen.
I am Irish Catholic, so I should get an extra star on the pet board for my name.
So you're an Irish Catholic, huh?
Oh yeah, I'm 100% Irish.
Oh, I just watched Angela's Ashes like 2 days ago.
Did you really?
With McCourt passing on, I still had it on the DVR, and I played that, yeah. It's a wonderful, wonderful film and book, too.
So, are you a Flogging Molly fan there, 100% Irishman?
Yes.
Rebels of the Sacred Heart. No ball, nor chain, nor prison shall keep. We're the Rebels of the Sacred Heart.
Catholic school, seminary one summer for 6 months, all of that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Check out my profile on this network.
I'm just loving that. I've written it down here, Thursday at 9.
Seven Star Talk. It's Old Hippies Night.
Old Hippies Night.
We fit in.
I run two topics. I run a talk topic, and we're going to talk about how politicians spend all their time looking for money and doing nothing else. And then the fun topic, is it's Old Hippies Night, and I've got some great music. Creedence Clearwater Revival, Jimi Hendrix.
I don't know. You don't have to answer this, but is that pod safe?
$20.
Oh, okay.
I take credit cards.
Okay. Oh God, you know that I can't believe how much fun it is. This whole blog talk radio stuff.
It reminds me of. I don't know how old you. I'm 62 years old.
A touch older than me. I was born in 50.
It reminds me of the old CB days.
You know, that's true. Right.
And you'd be talking to your buddies and all that. Now, instead of being in the neighborhood, we're all over the world.
Mm. Hey, you know, I got a... Wiles, I don't know if you've ever tuned in here before, but how'd you find out? How did you know I was on tonight?
Well, I'm going around, I'm a marketing specialist, and I'm going around looking for the cool shows, coming on, introducing myself, and
Okay, well, but wait, why can't I find that's the MJ tribute? I love this song. I think this is it.
Why does no one call? Why can't somebody just give me a ring? The stupid telephone is silent like a stone, and I feel all alone.
That used to be my theme song.
Send me a copy of it. I want to use that.
Oh, all right. It's a guy named Max Rabi.
That's how I'll bring you on. When you're my guest, that's how I'm going to bring you on.
Yeah, put each other on, like, the friends list, you know, I don't know how that works, friends request or whatever.
Hey,
and
listen,
that way,
let me tell you guys something. I'm going to put your show on my website. I'm a little different than a lot of the people that come on this network. I'm being followed close to 6 million viewers that hit my
really?
Website. I have one of the largest entertainment websites in the country. The largest one in South Carolina. I average about anywhere from 12 to 40,000 hits a week. And
so it's SouthernStarTalk.com?
The show here on the network is Southern Star Talk.
Right.
The site is thesouthernstar.org.
Thesouthernstar.org.
And we're doing a thing on our senator, Jim DeMint. I don't know if you're familiar with Jim DeMint.
No, I'm not.
From South Carolina. And he thinks that
everybody... You know
you're
good.
Well, you're going to love what I'm saying here. Jim DeMint's going around now saying that everybody that voted for Obama are basically Nazis, and it's the Obama-Hitler. And we've got Lindsey Graham from South Carolina called on.
Oh, I know Lindsey.
Bigot, and then our what I call our first class governor flying around.
The guy who goes to the. Oh wait, what did Joe Scarborough? Oh, he had a great term for it. Something on the pompous.
Hey, he's got his priorities in order, does he not?
I know, Joe. I'm from Florida.
You know, I love him. I love watching his show. I don't agree with a lot of things, and I love his new book.
Yeah, I'm going to get his book. I haven't talked to Joe in a couple of years. I have emailed him a couple of times, but I'm a retired producer, film producer. I was at Universal Studios in Florida for many years, and I got to meet Joe, and I'll tell you something about Joe. Joe's as slick as they get. And he knows it, and he's very good, and I wasn't a bit surprised when he got the show.
Oh yeah, and I couldn't believe when I watched it, and I started to like it. I love the show.
Mika mommies him all the time. His right arm's got to be seriously bruised by now.
She keeps hitting him. And Willie Geist is pretty funny, too.
Yeah, there's rumor that Willie's going to get his own show pretty soon.
Really? You know who deserves his own show?
You know how media rumor goes.
You know who deserves his own show is Mike Barnicle.
Yeah, I like Mike. I like Larry, too. Larry got his own show.
Larry who?
What's Larry's last name? God, I'm terrible. I'm 62 and I'm forgetting things. That's why I don't know. I know him.
Anyway, speaking of Irishmen, Timmy Russert and I were high school classmates.
Now, there was a special guy.
Yes, he was.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
I've known him since I was 12.
A great loss.
Or knew him. The last commencement speech he made was at my daughter's high school graduation.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was a great speech. And he did it by request, gratis. And I'll never forget him for that.
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead now.
No, I'm done.
All right. Here's another song, and this one is Pod Save. Actually, I got one here.
When you say Pod Save, what do you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. It has a open source license, and you have straight rights to them. You can do anything you want.
Okay. Let me
copyright
help you
free.
Here. I'm a licensing specialist. My big deal was distributing movies overseas, older films. And let me tell you something. If you're a nonprofit educational service, Don't worry about the copyright. So it's called the Fair Use Doctrine of the U.S. copyright laws, and you can use anything you want.
Right, but you can't. You got to be careful with fair use.
Well, the problem with fair use is if BMI or ASCAP calls up Blog Talk Radio and complains about a song I'm playing, even though I have the legal right to do it, they'll take me off the air.
Right. Well, here's an Irish song here. Called Irish Coffee.
Oh, yeah. You're gonna make me cry.
And, you know what? There's a couple of great Irish musicians. One's name is Brian Gaffney. He plays here out of Washington, D.C., and there's another guy, his name's Patsy Whalen, maybe the greatest fiddler I've ever heard fiddle.
He is the greatest fiddler.
Unbelievable. But, hey, we got, 772, you want to join in?
I'm here.
All right. We don't want to leave you out. This has been a great 52 minutes so far. We've got two lines open if you want to join us in. That's 347-945-6713.
Is this healthcare thing going to get passed this year, you think?
It's going to get passed next week.
Yes.
Oh, if are you taking odds on this? I'm saying something gets... Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go with Obama.
I don't know.
He's the best horse in the race. He's going to win it. That's it.
I can tell you why it's going to be passed if you want to know the caller.
Why?
Why is it going to pass?
Going to get passed because of Barack Obama and his abilities and the people behind him. When these people are going into closed doors, I guarantee you what his boy is telling them is this. We really need you to vote. And I'm talking about the conservative blue dogs, Democrats. You better vote for this because if you don't vote for this, I'm not going to campaign for you when you run. And that's the end of it.
Well, I hope he does.
Oh, they need his help in 2010. You better know that.
If they don't get his help, they won't win. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And they're all going to, you know, it's going to get passed. The question is to the caller, what's going to get passed? What's it going to be like? And there's a lot of vagueness over that right now.
Right. Norm
is strictly on the record for government single pay, just like they do in Canada.
Yeah,
I like lowering. Let's lower the age for Medicaid to 55, and I'll sign up, and I can tell Wells Fargo to kiss my ass. Thank you.
You won't need to sign up.
Get rid of Medicare and Medicaid.
You're not going to need either one of those.
Wait. Why should we get rid of Medicare and Medicaid?
Why not just do a single payer system, then everyone can get it, regardless of whether you're old or not.
Right, it's extended. Okay, so you're not talking about getting rid of it. You're talking about extending it. At least that's what I'm talking about.
They had talked about bringing it down to like age 50 or possibly 55, somewhere in there, and that would cover a significant portion of the population, and they'd be absorbed into an existing system. You see, so it's not like you have to, you know, remake the whole thing. You've got something that's already there, and I think I heard average costs of $250, $300 a month, something of that sort. So
it's going to be based on what your income is.
Yeah, that would be part of it as well, of course, but, But that would be so much better than what I have now. I would really like that. Because I should be able to get health insurance for that amount of money.
And
a reasonable, you know, a reasonable comprehensive plan between $200 and $300.
And remember, everybody, get in on the last 5 minutes, 347-945-6713.
I don't think a problem, you know, a problem apart from being, like, the health insurance companies is also the pharmaceutical companies charge so much for, like, for the medications and stuff. There needs to be, like, there needs to be, like, heavy reform on that. And if Obama had the testicular fortitude that I think he does, once this law gets passed, he should, whoever he puts in charge of the, like, new health, government health insurance, should go up to the companies and be like, you want to charge me, you want to charge, you know, $110 per pill, you're going to get paid $20. And, you know.
Fine, we won't make any. Fine, that's fine, we won't make any more new pills.
Let me give you a quick one. You guys will love this before you cut off. What Obama's doing right now is he's slide-dogging the doctors, the AMA, and the pharmaceutical companies, making them a lot of promises. They're not going to do this, they're not going to do that. And once they pass the bill, they're going to ream them down real good.
He's,
so enjoy
he's
that.
He's going to break the backs of the HMOs. Break
he's
their
gonna
backs.
He's going to break a lot of that. He already
the
has
only way
broken
we'll
a lot of
that.
When I watch that man break Hillary Clinton's back, I said,
"Hold on! Oh, don't you talk about my girl like that." Go ahead, wait, we got
her.
A new 540. You're with us.
Hey, how about this one? Sarah Palin debating Hillary Clinton.
Oh, Sarah Palin.
Hey, Norm.
Yes.
This is Lassiter.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. First time caller, first time listener.
How do you like the show?
Hey, not too bad. Not too bad. So, hey, listen, I don't have long. I know your show is about wrapping up. I think the government is too far removed from the average person to get into paying for the health care issue. I do think, though, that the government needs to take a more active role in promoting health. I think states should be funded a little bit better from the federal side to promote things like healthcare facilities, playgrounds, parks, the things that have been proven to show benefits in health should be where the government helps out a little bit more, and I think the residual effect will be cheaper in the long run and actually have a little bit more legs to it. I think that given the current situation with the federal system, to get that involved, I just sense a nightmare. I've seen them get involved and try to get involved in a very local level, and it's just been a disaster. So I would think...
Okay, wait, Lassiter. I got to ask you something. Everybody always says that stuff. Tell me one federal disaster at the local level. Tell me one thing that's not better than it was before the federal government came.
It was not. It's not better than it was before the federal government came.
Yes, one thing.
We're coming up on a 4-year anniversary of one thing that's not any better after the federal government has gotten involved.
And what's
but,
that?
You know, I would just say this. I think that the higher up you go in an organization, and in the federal government, if you look at government as an organization, the higher up the chain you go, the more global you need to have your sights. I think we have a system in which you have local, state, and federal oversight, and I think that when you're talking about individuals and their lives and their health care, that's a very local issue, and I think the federal government needs to do more to support the local programs that will have a more direct impact on people's lives rather than just getting too involved. I think if there's a way to scale it over time as things are put in place to support such a system, then that would be great. But I think it's a... It just seems a little too ambitious. It's something that's just that needs to be tested through state governments and local governments, in my opinion, before the federal government decides to jump in and try to manage that type of thing. But you know, hey, that's just my opinion.
Thanks for calling, Lassiter. We're still going to the archive, but we're not streaming anymore. We're past the limit, so I'm going to call it a night here. And I'll see you on Thursday, Southern, and I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to go look at your website.
Yeah, I wrote it down, too. I'll probably check you out.
All right, we'll see you Thursday. I don't know why, but you're breaking up.
Sounds like a Skype issue. Could be.
Yeah, it's some kind of issue. I have no idea why my Skype worked tonight. I don't care either.
Yeah, now, can you hear everything fine? I mean,
yeah, but Southern
good.
Star was like a skipping record. I think I can still hear him.
And now we're hearing last week's show.
We are?
Did you turn that off? I don't want to.
No.
Again.
Anyway, I'm hanging up here. I'll talk to you later, Carl. Thanks for calling, Southern. I'll see you Thursday. Norm is out of here. Got to go wash my dishes.
Okay. You don't have a dishwasher?
No.
Oh, you.
I'm the dishwasher. I'm the dishwasher around here.
How's our economy going to grow if you won't buy a dishwasher?
I don't know. I'm going out with this.
Good night, Norm.
Take it easy. Every one of them makes me sick. Hey, no matter how good you have it, no matter how bad you have it, fact of the matter is, winding up in the train. The oxygen pieces are all going out. They're gone.